Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And welcome all of you here today for a wonderful day of worship. If it seems like the sanctuary is kind of leaning this way, we have many guests of the Isabella's family are with us today, and we're looking forward to her dedication and worship. And I think we'll dedicate her every week, and we'll get this crowd back every week. That'll be good. The Lord has promised that when we gather in His name, He is present with us. And so come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give Him praise and give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto Him. Jesus, the name above all names. That's who we come to worship today. We welcome all of you to this time and place. If you're visiting, please feel free to fill out the guest form that's in the blue or the little green folder in the pew. Use that also for prayer requests later. We look forward to God's blessing as we worship in the name of Jesus Christ this morning.
Please rise for our opening hymn, number 215, When Morning Gilds the Sky.
Jesus, we welcome you here. We greet you with love in our hearts and gratitude for your blessings. And chief among them is the salvation you offer us because you have borne our sin in your body on the cross. And by our faith in you, we go free from the guilt of our sin and have the promise of eternal life. We praise you for that today and are eager to worship you, eager to hear your word, and eager to pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Please be seated. There are several announcements in the bulletin, and you'll see a couple of inserts. One, if you're parents and have kids at home who are going off to school, this insert from Focus on the Family has a lot of interesting information about going back to school and helping kids do that in a good way. There's also an insert from the Men's Night Out. It's an area ministry, and Men, if you'd like to take a look at that, please read through that. They have some upcoming speakers that they're advertising. We're excited tonight for the concert we've been waiting for a long time. Revelation Maranatha will be on the deck outside at 5:30. And hope you'll come and bring friends and family with you. And if you can still offer a bed and a shower, please, to one of the band members, please see Penny after worship today. Several notices on the back of the insert where the prayer list is, the upcoming need for nursery help and junior church help. We have sign-up sheets that are in the Welcome Center. So as God leads you to take part in these ministries for the kids, please sign up. And continue, please, to spread the word about our September 13th, starting the new schedule, 9 o'clock for all of our Sunday school classes and 10:15 for our one worship service. We look forward to that because Reverend Miller will be here, our new executive minister from TABCOM, and will be following worship with a potluck, which is always a fun time. So we look forward to that day especially. Bob has an announcement about the youth.
As Pastor said, we have the concert this afternoon at 5:30, but prior to that, at 2 o'clock, we're going to be playing Frisbee and having some food over at my house, actually the field across the street from my house. And then we'll come. That'll be at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to come, please just come on and join us. I live at 80 Charles Street here in Abington. If you need directions on how to get there, please see me at the end of the service. We'd love to have you out for that. That's open to junior high school, actually middle school and high school. And any parents that would like to come and join us, we'd love to have you come along as well. And we are kicking off our schedule for September, October. We've done things through the summer, but we have schedules out in the little hallway out just outside of the sanctuary here. If you'd like to pick one up, we'd love you to do that. And we've got a lot of things going on, so please keep the kids in prayer, if you would, with us. And we'd love to see kids pass from death to life this season, this school season, come to know Jesus as their Savior. So we're excited for that. We're excited for what God's going to do with us. And right now, we're going to kind of transition over to the responsive Old Testament reading. Oops. Oh, and actually, we have one more announcement before that. Rob Mann is going to come up.
Good morning, everybody. So, I am on the Pastoral Search Committee, as I think everybody here is aware. We met last Sunday at St. Martin's in their upper room. Seemed very appropriate. Ellen Bickford was elected, I guess you can call it an election, as chair. Cindy McNamara will be serving as the secretary, and I am the corresponding secretary, which means I'm the one who gets to stand up here and talk to everybody on a regular basis. So, the first thing that you'll be hearing from us with regards to the pastoral search is we will be sending out an anonymous demographic survey in the coming week. So initially, we will send that out electronically. We would prefer to have the response electronically if at all possible. And then we will be providing PDF copies as well as printed copies for those of you who are maybe not familiar with using the computer to fill out surveys. But if you are comfortable with the computer, please use the electronic version because we're going to have to manually input any of the paper copies at the end of the day. So we'll be sending that out. I think we'll be getting that out either this coming week, and we'll hopefully have paper copies printed for next Sunday as well. And we will be distributing this to as many participants in church activities as possible. So it's not limited to members, and it's not limited to the people who show up on Sundays, but we're looking to broadly gather demographic data. And I will remind everybody that it is anonymous. So there are going to be some questions in there that hopefully you will be more comfortable answering because it is anonymous in terms of collecting the data. So that's it. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to speak to any of the members of the Pastoral Search Committee, and we'll be happy to try and answer them as best as possible. Thank you.
All right, you can remain seated for this part of the service, but please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. If you didn't bring a Bible, we have pew Bibles. It's page 858 in the pew Bible, page 858. We're going to do a responsive reading, and I'll wait till y'all get there. Psalm 19. I'm going to read the odd-numbered verses, and if you'd read the even-numbered verses, that'd be great. So let's begin. Psalm 19, starting in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Day after day, they pour forth speech.
There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous.
They are more precious than gold, and much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, and honey more gold.
By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Got out of order here somehow. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the truth of this word guide us in our hearts this week.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 301, We Will Glorify. We're going to sing it through twice. Sorry.
Glorify the King of Kings, we will glorify the
concerns that you want shared today, please just lift them up in the green form there that you might have filled out, and it can be picked up and brought forward. We do have one from earlier. Ann Manna's friend Lois has been on our prayer list before, as well as her daughter Karen, who I mentioned for prayer last week. Karen was diagnosed with cancer, and unfortunately Karen has passed away yesterday. So we want to keep Lois and her family in prayer. Karen has a husband and children of her own, so we pray for them all. Thanks from Gene Porter for the prayers. Wilbur and I are doing better than expected, and Gene's with us in worship today. That's a blessing. And from Marge Roberts, my son Ken had two TIAs, which are small strokes, on Monday. One at work and the other one in the hospital. He had open heart surgery, triple bypass, 6 months ago. So prayer for that. Ken will do well in recovering. We also, of course, in the prayer or in our bulletin, have a list of prayer concerns that have been there for a while. And we want to remember the Dominican Republic. We have our group coming today from the Dominican, and plans for our trip in February to go there for mission work. And they were hit by a tropical storm and hurricane, and several deaths and a lot of damage. So we keep them in prayer. Let's look to God together and pray. Lord, you have given us a beautiful day and a beautiful time to come together and worship you, to open our hearts to you and acknowledge your presence and your power and your love for us, to respond to your love with our expressions of love in song and in prayer, in attention to your word and the giving of our offerings. Lord, we are grateful to be your people, grateful to be gathered as the church, the body of Christ, grateful for your word that continues to give us guidance and direction in life, because so much can be frightening and troubling and perplexing and confusing. There's so much death and destruction in the world. We turn to your word for guidance and help, and we thank you, as we've said earlier, that your word guides us, your word speaks to us, your word teaches us. And that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, what we read on a page can live in our hearts and change our lives. We praise you for that. And we thank you for the blessing of prayers you have answered on behalf of members of our congregation, as we've prayed for so many people and so many places for so long. We continue to lift up to you the people who are in Dominica, suffering in Haiti or in the Dominican Republic, praying that your blessing will help them recover from the storm that has ravaged their island. We pray with thanksgiving for the opportunity to hear people from that island today, and pray that throughout this day, the band and Cindy driving will be kept safe as they go from place to place and come here this afternoon for our concert. We give you thanks, Lord, for the blessing you've been to Wilbur and Gene and the surgeries they've had and the healing they're experiencing. We thank you that you've given Ken Roberts a chance to live by getting him to a hospital where he can be cared for after these strokes, and pray for his recovery. We lift to you Bob Craig, who's in the hospital, and Pat Lyons, who's still recovering. We ask your blessing, Lord, on Ann's friend Lois and Karen's family at her passing, asking that you, who are the God who can heal the brokenhearted, would bless this family with comfort and peace at this tragic death. Lord, for the opportunity we have today to be freely able to worship, we give you thanks. And we would remember the many brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world whose times of worship are risky, threatened, or even prevented by their governments or hostile forces in their countries. We pray for their faith and their endurance, for their strength, and for the witness of the gospel to continue despite the suffering and troubles of your people. We are eager, Lord, for your return, for only then will the world know a peace that is permanent and glorious, and a joy that cannot be taken away. We pray, Lord, that our own lives will reflect our faith in you, our love for you, and somehow hasten the day when Christ returns in glory. We ask all these blessings in his name. Amen. I invite you to continue to worship with the giving of tithes and offerings, and invite those who are going to be in our choir for a day today to come forward.
Participated or seen our choir for the day this But once the second it shows up at 9:30, we practice something and off we go. Today, we're going to extend that invitation to you as well, because we're singing two hymns back to back, hymn number 774, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, and hymn number 779, I'll Fly Away. We're not getting fancy with it, doing anything that you don't have to learn, but that you did show up at 9:30, you're welcome to sing along with us. So please do.
Oh,
Please rise for the doxology.
And we have the opportunity today to have one of the fun things in the church is the dedication of an infant. So I'd like to invite Isabella and her parents to come up, Jen and John. The Bible teaches that children are God's blessing, turning a couple into a family when the first one is born. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God belongs to those who receive it like a child, and that we should not hinder children from coming to him. Rather, we're to bring children to Jesus in our prayers for them and by sharing with them the story of Jesus, whom God sent to become our Savior. We're to encourage children to believe in Jesus by our own Christian example in the home, by faithful participation in the life of the church, and by helping our children benefit from the spiritual and educational programs designed for them here. American Baptist Church patterns child dedication after the presentation of Jesus in the temple, which Joseph and Mary fulfilled for him. Our service dedicates this child to the Lord, seeks God's blessing to guide and protect the child, and it commits the parents to raise their child, as the Bible says, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And today these parents, Jennifer and John, bring their daughter for such a dedication. First, I would ask you to confess your own faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and do you accept him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Secondly, since you desire to dedicate your child to become a follower of Jesus Christ, will you commit yourselves to do all you can to secure this same outcome in her life? If so, please say, with God's help, I will. What is your child's name? Isabella Thayer Janzowitz. I dedicate you to become a follower of Jesus Christ. May you live in his love, and in the Lord's time, may you receive his gift of salvation and serve him as your Lord and Savior. Church, as the body of Christ who meet in this place, you too have a responsibility to this child and her parents. Will you therefore pray for Isabella to grow in the knowledge and love of God? And will you also support these parents with your prayers, concern, and encouragement as they seek to fulfill their God-given responsibility to their daughter? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Let's pray together. Loving God, as our Creator, you are the one who gave life to Isabella and blessed her parents by her arrival in their home. You protected her in the womb, and so we are confident to entrust Isabella to you now, praying that you will watch over her, enabling her to grow as Jesus did, in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and people. And may your spirit so guide her spiritual development that the day will come when she too will make the good confession of faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. To that end, may you bless these parents, Jen and John, with a full measure of love, wisdom, patience, understanding, and faith in you, so that they can fulfill their happy yet holy duty as mother and father to this child. And may this congregation continue to be a place of spiritual nourishment for parents and children alike, to till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and are found mature and complete in Him at last. All this we ask for your honor and glory, through the mighty name of your Son, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Easy to see why Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. They are such a delight." Such a delight. I didn't know that the other one was over here. Our other baby.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals for the hymn of preparation, number 778, Sweet By and By. And would the children please come forward on the last verse for junior church?
Kids here may be too old for junior church, but if you'd like to come up for the junior sermon, John, PJ, you guys are welcome. Got lots of room here. Isabella will be the one going to junior church, but you guys are welcome to come up if you like. See what's in the bag. You just have a seat here. Get something in my bag. I want to talk about choices today, okay? Choices. Let's pretend that you're going to have a snack. And you have to decide, do you want to have this apple or this apple? Which would you pick? How about you, TJ? You pick that one? Yeah. Think. Yeah, probably. How about if you had between this apple and this banana? Bananas are good for you. Want a banana? You're fast. Yeah. Would you still pick the apple? Okay. One more thing. Would you pick this apple or this garlic? No, wait, that's not even a fruit. Never mind. That doesn't even belong there. So you'd pick this. You picked it because it looks better, right? And some choices are easy to make because you can just look and see. This is better than that. But Isabella here is too young to make those decisions. She doesn't know what food is good or what things are good to do and safe and not safe. So she has parents like Jennifer and John who are going to help her learn the good things to do, right? To make the right choices. Yeah. Because she chose this apple, huh? You like the apple? Yeah. You can hold that. That's one of the things that parents do, is that they teach their children the right things. So sometimes you can't always tell what friend is going to be a good friend or not, or what thing to eat is healthy for you or not. So when you have parents like you do that can help you learn, they are doing what God wants them to do. Just like Isabella's parents today, we want her to learn someday to believe in Jesus, just like we want you to do that. So we have Sunday school and junior church so that you can learn more and make the decision about following Jesus. Let's pray together before you go. God, thank you for helping us make choices that are good and healthy for us by giving us parents who can guide us to make those choices until we're old enough to make them ourselves. And we pray your blessing on the children of our church, whatever their age, that you will continue to show them the right path and help them make right choices. In Jesus' name, amen. Is anybody leading children's church today? Well, maybe we'll get to sit with your mommy and dad. We have a sign-up sheet for children's church in the Welcome Center. We need it over here, obviously, to have people sign up. But I invite you to turn to page 1828 if you want. In a pew Bible, we're going to look at the passage in Philippians chapter 3. This is the text for today's service sermon. Philippians chapter 3. And if you don't mind, I'm going to leave my coat behind. Philippians chapter 3, I'll be reading verses 1 through 21. Hear these words. This is one of Paul's closest churches. They supported him. They had been partners with him in the gospel from his first time there till the end. And you can read about the founding of the Philippian church in the book of Acts, because it was recorded where Paul was there and what he did. So here is his words to them in chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. What Paul is saying here is he's promoting his racial and his religious purity. Then he goes on to say, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Whereas I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that's how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Lord, we pray that these words from long ago will be relevant to us today, and that by the working of your Holy Spirit, the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart together will be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I wanted to take off my coat, not just because I'm hot, but also wanted you to see my shirt, because my shirt is permanent press. That's a real blessing, because I never have to iron this thing. I can wear it and wash it and dry it and wear it. Don't have to iron it at all. Permanent press, wonderful thing. There's other shirts I have where every time you take them out of the dryer, they're just a mass of wrinkles, and you got to iron them all the time. That's permanent press of a different nature. You have to permanently press them. But this kind, you get it and you don't have to do anything with it. It strikes me that when it comes to faith, some people want that kind of faith. They want to have a faith that they have and they say, I've got it, but then they don't have to do anything with it. They say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to pray. I don't have to join a church. If I did join a church, I wouldn't have to attend. I wouldn't have to give. I wouldn't have to serve. Really? True Christianity, as it's shown in the Scripture, calls for a permanent press of effort and action. And Paul's own permanent press of faith directed and determined the course of his entire life. And you hear that in these words of his in Philippians. For our faith, though, to generate this permanent press of devotion and discipline and deeds, we need a compelling goal. You have to have a reason to change your lifestyle. You have to have a reason to put other things aside and focus on Christ. And Paul says in verse 12, I haven't already reached this goal, but he does say in 14, I press on toward the goal. That's his permanent press. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Because a confession of faith in Christ that we make in our baptism is not the finish line. Admitting that Christ is Lord and confessing Him as Lord is the starting point of faith, not the finish. The final goal, is what Paul says in verse 11. It's the resurrection from the dead. And after he dies, Paul wants to live forever with God and Christ. Don't we all? But if your goal is to, say, run the Boston Marathon, you don't show up at Hopkinton on Patriots Day and just run 26.2 miles. You start training months before then. And likewise, long before he dies, Paul trained to reach this goal of resurrection from the dead. And he trained first by forgetting what lies behind. This is in verse 13. Forgetting what lies behind. But notice at the beginning of the passage, Paul listed a lot of things at the start of there that are normal to not forget. And I don't want you to forget them either. Because I'm a Hebrew born of Hebrews, and I was circumcised on the eighth day. And on, talking about his Hebrew heritage, his Pharisee pride, his zeal as a church persecutor, and how he has got this perfect righteousness under the law. If we were to update that today, you'd hear, well, you know, my grandparents founded this church, and I've held every office here that there is, and I've been in this church since I was a baby, and nothing happens in this church without my okay. And I want you to don't forget that. It's still around. But Paul says, I forget that stuff. I forget all of that. To reach his goal, he's got to forget all about those reasons that what he called be confident in the flesh. They'll only distract him and they will defeat him in the end because all of those things he listed invite Paul to trust Paul and not trust God. And so he counts all that former gain, his status, his standing, his lifestyle, and his lineage, all of that is lost. And the word is really rubbish. It's the stuff you throw out. He doesn't want it anymore. Christ is more important to him than all of that. Because none of that in our life either will help us reach our own resurrection. God's not impressed with our record or our resume that we want to send on and say, aren't I good? And haven't I done so much? And shouldn't you let me into heaven? We need to forget the status, the influence, the fame, the power we've gained in the past. So forgetting what lies behind is part of this training Paul has to reach the resurrection. But we've also not just got to forget the good stuff, we might call it, but we've got to forget the bad stuff. If you're like me, it's really hard to forget your past sins and failures. They pop up in my mind, and I, And you remember your mistakes, and you rehash them, and keep wishing I had done this, and I should have said that. And so these things in the past keep messing up my present, because I can't just let them go. But in Christ, our sin is forgiven. It's forgiven now because he's already died to atone for it, to cover it. So now I have forgiveness. Right now. God even says, I will remember their sins no more. God says, I will remember their sins no more. God isn't up in heaven talking to Jesus about your sins. Did you see what Bob McKinnon did? Do you know how long it's been since Joe was in church? God isn't doing that. And God isn't throwing up in your face either. Because God says, I will remember your sin no more. Why? Because it was forgiven when Christ died for you. And if God won't remember it, then surely I can forget it. I can let it go and not keep dragging it around with me. We also need to forget the past sins, not just of us, but the past sins of others against us. That's what we just prayed, you know. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Not just those who sin in general, the bad people in the world, but those who sin against us, the personal sins that have affected us. We're asking God to forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Part of the pain in life, whether it's individually in your own life or collectively as a church, part of the pain is because a painful past is hard to forget. And frankly, some people don't want to forget it. Hurt people hold on to their hurt and their grievances. They hold on to the blame they've cast. None of that is good or healthy for the people or for the church. And so forgetting what lies behind has got to include getting beyond these past hurts and arguments. There's more important matters to address than who was wrong or right back then. Truth is, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Now, don't look at them, but out of the corner of your eye, the person to your left and your right, don't look, no. They're a sinner. You see that head in front of you? That head belongs to the sinner. The person behind you looking at your head, he's looking at a sinner. The person telling you this is a sinner. We're all sinners, all fallible, all prone to make mistakes and do the wrong thing. That's why wrong and hurtful things happen in the church, because we're all sinners. There's no perfect church. The sign said, if you find a perfect church, don't join, you'll ruin it. We sinners all need Jesus to forgive our sin and to enable us by his Spirit to forgive others. And thank God we're not condemned to drag our pain around like Jacob Marley's dreadful chains in the Christmas Carol, where he had to drag the chains of his greed and selfishness around. We can leave what pains us at the cross, even when that pain has come from other people. We can do that because that's what Paul did, and Paul said, follow my example. Back in chapter 1, and remember, Paul is in prison. He's in prison because he was preaching the gospel and he got arrested. But his arrest and his continuing to tell the guards about Jesus has encouraged people to, and made them more bold to preach. But he said in chapter 1, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. They're envious of Paul. They don't like Paul. They don't like the following he has. They're rivals of Paul. They want to get a following too. They preach out of envy and rivalry, supposing they can stir up trouble for me. Then Paul says, those darn guys, I'm going to pray to them. And what does it matter? What does it matter? The important thing is that whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And in that I rejoice. Paul knows not to hold a grudge or let a grudge hold him. He urged two women in the next chapter to do the same thing, to reconcile, and he asked a friend in the church to help them resolve their problem. So whenever there's disagreement, work to get over it. If you're a member of the church, follow your covenant and seek reconciliation. It says to do that. I don't know if you're like me or not, but if you're married, you may have at some point in your married history made your spouse angry. Maybe I'm not alone. Or hurt the spouse with something you said or did or didn't do. And some marriages sadly end in divorce, but those who don't often are because even those, despite those hurts, despite those arguments, despite those misunderstandings, those times we sin against each other, we remember that we stood in the presence of God and these witnesses and said, I will be your loving and faithful husband until death do us part. I will be your loving and faithful wife until death do us part. We hold on to our marriages and forgive each other and stay together because we made a promise in the presence of God and these witnesses. Isn't your church covenant the exact same thing? Is it not a pledge, a promise that you members make in the presence of God and these witnesses? That this is how you will act toward each other. This is how you will behave toward each other. You will walk together in Christian love, in brotherly love. You'll care for each other, pray for each other, watch over one another, and always be ready for reconciliation. Paul didn't hold on to a grudge. Neither can we if we want to move forward toward our goal in life. Members of the church, whether they leave or stay, can both hold on to past grievances, arguments, and pain. But like two dogs fighting over the same bone, someone's got to let go first for the fight to stop. And that's why Paul said, look to the interests of others, not just yourself. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Have the same mind, have the same love. Share in the abundant encouragement of Christ, the love, the compassion that Christ offers all his church. This is what he's told them to do in chapter 2. So press on toward the goal that Paul sets before us, or that God sets before us. To do that, forget about the past. All these past accomplishments that you think are so great and all your trophies on the wall, God, that's not going to get you into heaven. Forget your past sins and failures. They're not going to keep you out of it. And neither will the past sins and failures of others, even the sins against you. Forget all that. Don't drag past sins around in the present. Forget them. God has. Leave it behind. Forgetting what lies behind is how you train to reach the goal. But the other half of that is straining forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead is Paul being found righteous in Christ with a righteousness that doesn't come because he kept a lot of the law, because God gave it to him. It's based on faith in Christ, not on Paul's own works. So he says and tells us about the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Christ did for Paul what Paul could never do for himself, and that was make him righteous before God. And that matters because our sin has made us unrighteous and worthy of condemnation and punishment from God. But the righteousness we receive from God through faith in Christ takes away our guilt, takes away our sin. So knowing Christ is far more valuable than Paul's past achievements, because those impressive reasons for confidence in the flesh, they're not the source of his salvation. He could have a list as long as his arm and it wouldn't save him. What saves him is Christ. And on the negative side, Christ's blood is more potent than all of Paul's sins, because they're forgiven and his guilt is removed. His guilt is removed by Christ's death. Yet after Jesus was obedient unto death, God raised Jesus from the dead. and made him head over all things for the church. So with Jesus now alive and reigning in heaven, Paul can know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's not just a theory, not just a hypothetical. He can really know the power of the risen Christ and his resurrection in his own life through the presence of the Spirit God gives him. And that great power working Paul enabled him to suffer like Christ until he would die like Christ and eventually find a resurrection like Christ. That was Paul's goal. And if it's our goal, that same power of the resurrection is available in our lives to every believer. To not say, well, I can't do that, because later in chapter 4, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anything Christ wants you to do, he will strengthen you to do through his Spirit, through the power of the resurrection that's available to us who are his body on earth now. But to me, the best reason Paul engaged in this permanent press of faith is found in verse 12. Speaking of his goal, Paul writes, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now that's the translation of the New Revised Standard Version. The NIV doesn't quite get as close to the meaning of these words, because it says, I take hold of it because he took hold of me. Well, that's good, but there's more to it than that. There's this belonging. And he says, I press on to make it my own, so it's mine, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Christ Jesus has made me his own. A couple who stand at a wedding altar and say, the man says, I make you my own wife. The woman says, I make you my own husband. The couple who adopt a child and say, you will be my own child from now on. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about belonging to Jesus. And nothing on earth can or ever will compare to that truth. No human advantage of his own, no personal accomplishment, no material gain, no amount of money, power, influence, fame. None of that can compare to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And on the other hand, no sin Paul has committed, no persecution of the church, no blasphemy against Jesus can keep Paul from belonging to Jesus. Paul can call Jesus my own Lord because Jesus calls Paul my own. So he now lives forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to all that lies ahead, compelled in everything by that glorious truth, Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's the glory of the gospel, that we can belong to Jesus Christ. So what lies ahead is the prize of Paul's own resurrection, the prize he was promised in that heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. It's heavenly because it comes from God in heaven, and it's heavenly because it brings us to God in heaven, and it brings us to God in heaven because Christ Jesus has made us his own. Belong to him. Just as he said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep. No one can snatch them from my hand because they belong to him. We belong to him. To show you that he loves you, Christ Jesus has made you his own. To share the power of his resurrection with you, Christ Jesus has made you his own. To cause even your suffering to work for your spiritual good and growth, Christ Jesus has made you his own. To bless you in life and comfort you in death, Christ Jesus has made you his own. To secure your resurrection from the dead and your life with him forever in heaven, Christ Jesus has made you his own. Hallelujah. So forget your past pedigrees and performances, and forget your own sins that dog you, and forget the sins of others. Strain forward all that lies ahead for you. All the blessings, the joy, the peace, the comfort, your own resurrection, and heaven itself, because Christ Jesus has made you his own. That amazing truth calls for a permanent press of faith that embraces the surpassing value of knowing Christ, a permanent press that enjoys the power of his resurrection to be like Christ, a permanent press that shares his sufferings and finally becomes like him in death. Paul said, let those of us who are mature be like-minded, and if we're not, God will reveal that, but let's hold true to what we have attained. If we have attained a faith in Jesus Christ, hold on to that and go forward from that, pressing on through our own suffering, pressing on until our own death, pressing on toward the goal of our own resurrection from the dead, because through his own suffering, death, and resurrection, Christ Jesus has made us his own. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the the word that gives us hope and encouragement. If you can't say that today, if you don't know that for sure today, there's a prayer in our bulletin to invite you to pray that prayer, to begin a relationship with God. If you do that, I want you to come and let me know before you leave so that we can take steps to ground you in this new faith and the assurance that through faith in Christ, you belong to Him and are His forever. He belongs to you forever. We want that for you. That's why the church is here. So let us know if this is what you need today. Amen. A closing hymn, number 501. Now I belong to Jesus. I invite you to stand as you're able and join in this final hymn. Closer look at Isabella. She's sleeping right now, but she is a darling. I welcome her to the family of faith and glad that all of you could be with the family John and Jen today to share in this special time. Let's receive God's benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit enable you to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead until you experience the resurrection from the dead, and eternity with God in heaven, because Christ Jesus has made you His own. Amen.